When we choose love and compassion, we create connection. In my Life and Laughter podcast, we find ways to choose love over fear. I'm your host, Perry Kinder.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of my podcast. I'm so glad you are here listening. I appreciate it so very much. Since this is May and spring is right around the corner, I mean, on the calendar, it's around the corner. In reality, it's probably still months away in Utah, but it's all a mindset, right? And so the mindset of spring is beginnings and new beginnings and fresh starts and all those really fun, creative beginning things that are happening. So I thought I'd talk today about beginner's mind and how we can foster that and use it to create more fun and more adventure in our lives. We tend to get very comfortable, which is fine too. Comfort is fine. But sometimes it's fun to stretch a little bit out of your comfort zone and try something new, and that takes a lot of beginner's mind. My husband and I finally caved to the pickleball pressure, and we started taking pickleball lessons because I don't know why. I guess we're going to become professional at some point, so we got to start somewhere. We've played tennis for many years together, and I thought the transition from tennis to pickleball would be a piece of cake, you know, pretty easy. So we showed up for our first lesson, and my ego was securely intact. I half listened to the coach's instructions because I obviously already knew everything there was to know about pickleball because I knew how to play tennis. So don't even bother talking to me. I already know it all. And 90 minutes later, I left humbled and a bit chagrined and definitely ego hurt because pickleball is not tennis. In fact, my wicked tennis backhand was a definite fail in pickleball. It hit the net every single time because A, it's not a tennis serve or tennis swing, and B, I didn't know what I was doing. So along with swinging and hitting and basic pickleball skills, I didn't know how to keep score. It's some kind of algebraic equation that you have to study for years. And I couldn't keep track of whose turn it was to serve. There were square dance rules, you know, do-si-do, turn to your left, spin around, I don't know. So by the time we left the first lesson, I wasn't shattered, because this is just pickleball, it's not brain surgery. So I realized I had to set my ego aside. Like, okay, Perry, you can't go into something assuming you already know it, you've already learned it, there's nothing else to learn. You have to knock that off because it gets you nowhere. So I went back to my second lesson with a definite beginner's mind. Like, I had no idea what I was doing, which, see previous notes, was actually true. I let myself just be an empty vessel, and I was willing to leave my ego at the door. And it went so much better. I'm learning now how to keep score. I'm learning how to keep track of serves. I'm learning how to not poach from my partner. I'm learning how to be a better player and to have fun. And all I had to do was let go of the idea that I already knew everything about it. So as we get older, that beginner's mind seems harder to achieve. We think because we've lived on this planet for decades, we should already have all the experience we need to learn basically everything, you know, piano or music or directing or making podcasts or pickleball, for example. But there's no possible way for us to have learned everything on this planet. And to think that we have is just the epitome of ego. There's a game called Go. I can't believe I've lived on this planet for so many years. I've never even heard of the game Go. I mean, I think I've heard of it, but I didn't really know what it was. But it's been played, I think it's like the very first board game. It was been played for more than 2,500 years, and it's very complex. There are infinite number of moves in this game. Someone actually said there are more possible board configurations in Go than there are atoms in the universe. It's very complex. So the idea is you have, it's like a chessboard, and squares are 19 by 19, so you have 361 squares on this board. And you have white stones and black stones. And the idea is to surround or capture all of your opponent's stones. So it looks like a chessboard with lots of squares, lots of white and black stones. And there are world champions in this game, which, you know, of course there are, because there are world champions for everything. But in 2016, there was a computer designed to learn the game Go, and it was designed to learn by itself and to play the champions to see how they would do. So in 2016, the computer's program was called AlphaGo, really creative. He faced off Lee Sedol. He was a legendary Go champion. Legendary meaning people in the Go community have heard of this person. I've never heard of this person. So there had never been a computer program created up to this point that could beat a human being until AlphaGo. So more than 200 million people watched this untried AI program play this Go champion. And things went about as expected. You know, they were making moves, taking turns making moves. When it came to move 37, and again, I know nothing about this game, but at this pivotal point in the game, there are usually two moves. You move toward an offensive stance or you move toward a defensive stance. And it kind of determines the rest of the game. Well, the AI program, this computer, had the move at move 37, and it didn't do either of those options. It took a third choice. And in the history of Go, that move had never happened. And they're assuming that. They don't have records from 2,500 years ago. But from all the teachings and all the lessons and all the, everything they've ever learned, this move had never been done before. And here's why that is a big deal. The computer went on to win the game because the human didn't know how to react to that move because it had never been done before. And the reason that had never been done before is because no human brain had ever conceived that there was another option. But because this AlphaGo program had beginner's mind, it was learning Go as it went along, watching all the different moves. You think of a computer analyzing every single move on that board, the millions and millions of moves that it could make, and it chose a move that threw the champion completely off guard. The computer was working from a beginner's mind because he didn't know that that move couldn't be done. And right there is how important beginner's mind is, because when you go into something with beginner's mind, you just don't know what you don't know. So when you have this beginner's mind, there's a word for it in Japanese. It's from Zen Buddhism called Shoshin. It's what the word means, beginner's mind. You go into it with an attitude of Shoshin, which is an attitude of openness, excitement, a role of listening, ready to be guided by somebody with more experience. The idea that you're going to think creatively, that you're going to find solutions to problems, like this computer nobody's ever thought of this solution before. And it was just brilliant. So, and it's not just for the game of Go. It can be for any situation. You know, people are changing the game literally all the time. And I do mean that literally. They find new moves in all kinds of different sports, in board games, in life, in music, in writing. You hear of writers that find a new way to tell a story, and it becomes a trend for a while because, wow, nobody's ever thought of telling a story this way. Or a new way to play a piece of music that has been around for hundreds of years that no one has interpreted that particular way. There are always ways to take old things and make them new. Part of the problem with humans, and I consider myself a human, is that we have really, really short attention spans. And in order to move through something with a beginner's mind, you need to be able to pay attention. So here's the problem. In the year 2000, people, human beings, had the attention span of about 12 seconds. That was the maximum time we could stay focused on one thing, 12 seconds. And it seems like a very small amount of time. But I guess it's true because someone on the internet said it's true. So also, if you notice, this was before smartphones were really taking off. The internet was really taking off. This was before all of those things taught us how to jump from tab to tab and page to page and screen to screen. Because now our attention spans are 8 seconds, much lower. And I think you've heard this before, that goldfish have the attention span of 9 seconds. So goldfish pay attention better than humans do. which again seems par for the course. So not only do we think we already know everything, we can't stay focused long enough to learn something new. We give up easily if we don't learn something new after a couple of tries, whether it's piano lessons or guitar lessons, learning how to stand on your head, practicing baseball or learning yoga, anything that we want to do. If we don't pick it up quickly and easily, we just give up. We just don't do it. Think of all the things you have in your home. Maybe you bought a guitar. Maybe you have a bag full of yarn from your crochet projects you want to do. Maybe you bought videos back in the day to learn, I don't know, chess or how to play Go. And they're all sitting there because you didn't take the time to learn it. Because beginner's mind takes an investment. You've probably heard the rule that you need to have 10,000 hours of deliberate practice to become a master at something. And that idea was made popular by Malcolm Gladwell in his book Outliers. And it's kind of been debunked that that's just kind of a generic time. But the idea is you need to spend hours and hours, yes, thousands of hours of deliberate practice learning something new. What did you learn as a child? I took piano lessons. I took dance lessons. I wrote poetry. I read books. I learned how to ride a bike. I learned how to roller skate. I could play jacks and hopscotch and marbles, and I could make homemade bread. But I was willing, and not only willing, but I was eager to practice these skills. I would get on my bike and I would ride my bike all over the place. I would put on my roller skates and I would roller skate around the neighborhood. Did I fall? Sure. Did I get up? Yes, because that's how you learn. You get back up. At school, we played jacks all through recess, and I became a master at playing jacks. I can even impress my grandkids now if they could sit still long enough to watch me play jacks, but they don't care. So I was willing to put in the time, and when you're willing to put in the time, you learn something. When my granddaughter, she just turned 7, when she was learning how to do cartwheels, she practiced all the time. I'd be having a conversation with her, and she'd be doing 10 cartwheels in the middle of our talk. And she'd be listening, but she'd still be practicing her cartwheels over and over, over and over. I think we should all do that. Maybe not do cartwheels during conversations, but learn cartwheels by practicing them while you're with your boss, while your spouse is talking to you, or if the cops are talking to you. You just start doing some cartwheels. That's beginner's mind, the idea that you want to perfect even the smallest movements, the smallest advancements in what you're trying to do, approaching it with a sense of fun and curiosity and the willingness to give it more than 8 seconds of your time and the ability to let the ego step aside. So if it's hard for you to learn new things, there are some tricks you can try to increase your capacity for a beginner's mind. And it does take practice. Even becoming a beginner's mind takes practice. The first thing that you can do is to ignore the stories of your past. You can ignore all the times you tried to start crocheting and you failed. You can forget about all the labels people gave you. Maybe they said you were clumsy, that you would never be a tap dancer because you were so clumsy or you were so big. Maybe you have to let go of the idea that learning something is a competition or a comparison, that you have to compete against somebody to become better, when you're only learning to make yourself expand. Maybe you tried learning how to play the ukulele 5 years ago and got frustrated after 3 lessons and threw it in the trash. Well, start over, buy a new ukulele and be patient. Set aside some time every day. It could be 5 minutes, it could be an hour, just to practice something that you want to learn how to do. That's how we get better, and we don't take the time to do it. Grown-ups are especially terrible at this. So 2, be inspired by children. Like my granddaughter with her cartwheel practice. You know, I watch some of my grandkids on Wednesday afternoons, and I try to have a craft for them to make every Wednesday because they like making crafts. And sometimes they're willing to put in the time to learn something new. And sometimes they're like, nope, we're not doing that, we're out, we'll be downstairs watching cartoons. But what I've noticed is the crafts they stick around for, they really enjoy. The crafts they stick around to take the time to learn with the patience, they really enjoy. I try to teach them how to do quilling, which is taking the thin strips of paper and rolling them into different shapes, so flowers and hearts. I was going to have them each make their mother or their father a really pretty Valentine's Day card out of quilled paper. And no, it didn't go anywhere. They rolled up one and said, no, we're out. So they went back downstairs. But we made pom-pom monsters, which they loved. And we've done watercolor painting. We've sewn glove animals. And some of these things take a little bit of practice because I have to learn how to sew, use the needle, and how to not pull it through and how to pull it through all the way. But it's the practice, the over and over repetition that they're willing to do when something interests them. So be inspired by children and give something new a chance. And don't think that you're going to fail. Let go of that mindset because that's not part of beginner's mindset. You know, in the tarot deck, the very first card is called the Fool. And it represents the beginning of a journey because the Fool doesn't know what's coming. He doesn't know what to be afraid of. He doesn't know what his skills are. He's just willing to jump off the cliff and assume that the universe is going to catch him or her. That's beginner's mind. The willing to just throw yourself into something head first, not knowing how it's going to turn out, and not being so attached to the outcome that it stops you from enjoying the process. I'm going to say that again. Don't be so attached to the outcome that it stops you from enjoying the process, which comes to number three, slow down. When I started my pickleball lessons, I thought I would walk on that court and amaze everybody with my dinking ability when I couldn't even remember who served next. I had to slow down, start over, and try it again. It's very easy to do something on autopilot. But when you stop and take things apart and relearn how to do things and investigate every aspect of whatever it is you're learning. Let's say you want to learn how to make homemade cinnamon rolls. There are so many levels of learning in that. Sometimes the dough doesn't rise. You have to figure out the right temperature for the water, for the yeast and the sugar and the mixture there, for that alchemy to happen to create dough that rises. Sometimes the bread is just really, really hard. It just didn't turn out well at all. It tastes nasty. Sometimes you used salt instead of sugar. How much do you mix the dough so it's not overmixed? And how long does it have to rise? It's all an experiment, and you slow down and you learn each of the steps. And one day, you make these amazing, spectacularly delicious cinnamon rolls that you impress the entire family with, and they say, wow, I didn't know you were so talented. You say, yeah, it's just something I picked up after hours of practice. Next, stop saying should. For example, stop saying, I should know how to do this for Pete's sake. I'm almost a senior citizen. I should know how to do this. Or stop saying things like, I should be more mature. That's not true. I should be more responsible. Boring. I should be respected. I should be held in high esteem for all my skills. Whatever your should is around this new skill, let it go. There are no shoulds. You shouldn't know everything. You shouldn't assume that you can just step into a project and know all the aspects of it. If you're making a song, you know, the timing, the counting, the music, the different instruments, the melody, all those take years of practice to get it together. But when it happens together and it comes together as a final product, it is worth all the time and effort you put into it. And that's the whole point, is the time you put into what you're learning should be fun and should end with you seeing a result that you're happy with, even if it's not perfect. And with beginner's mind, I can guarantee it's not going to be perfect, but you can feel accomplished without something being perfect. And it comes from being open, being flexible, being curious, being non-judgmental toward yourself, and accepting that whatever you want to learn is going to take time. It's allowing your mind to become innocent and blank, and then you build from there. Here's how I'm practicing beginner's mind. I'm showing up at pickleball and playing and learning just because it's fun. And when I play with other friends, I'm going to play with them just because it's fun. I'm not trying to become a pickleball world champion. God knows that's not going to happen. But I am learning the basics, and I'm being willing to put in the practice, and I'm being willing to be curious and to ask questions and to talk to people who know more than I do, which is pretty much everybody in that room knows more than I do about pickleball. But maybe one day I will know a little bit more and I can help somebody else coming up through the process. And that's true whether you're learning pickleball, whether you're learning how to read, whether you're learning a new language, whether you're learning how to play the piano. It's that investment of time and the idea that I have a beginner's mind that needs to be filled with every aspect of what I'm trying to learn. And you will find joy in that. That is where the fun is. That is where the play is. That's where the excitement of learning and accomplishing something new just takes over your mind. And you want to share it with everybody. That's why people talk about pickleball all the time, I guess. I haven't gotten that far yet. Except for this podcast, of course. So as spring is around the corner, hopefully, find something new to learn. It's a challenge for you. I'm challenging you to practice beginner's mind with something completely new, like a 180 from what you usually do. Maybe you're literally practicing 180s on skateboards. I don't know. Do that. Take a dance class. Take a music class. Take a speech class. Read a different genre of book. Read to learn something. There are so many things in this world to experience. Why stay in this small little slot here on this planet? Burst those walls, expand your horizons, and let me know how it goes. I love you all. Thank you so much.
To continue your journey toward love and connection, follow me at Life and Laughter Coaching on Instagram and Facebook.